Then we'll be live.
Hey, that was faster than I thought. Hey, folks, thanks for hanging on the BAMP podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, and here is our contractually obligated opening music. One second. That assures you, gentle listener, gentle viewer, that you're listening to a high-quality podcast with high production values. And with us today is the head of Evil Genius Games, Dave Scott. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. Doing all right. My stalwart co-host over here is Jacob Blackman out of Oklahoma. How are you, Jacob?
I'm all right today.
All right, cool. So, Dave, you guys have been the subject of just a whole lot of conversation lately. Let me pull up the link. You guys have got Kickstarter coming up in the very near future for a game called Everyday Heroes, which is kind of being billed. Is it fair to say we're kind of billing it as sort of the return of a D20 modern-esque? You know, obviously updated to sort of a 5e design aesthetic, but you guys have got kind of a cornucopia of licensed support for this. You want to tell our listeners and viewers about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, D20 Modern was a role-playing game that was set on top of third edition D&D with the idea that they were going to take the rules that were so popular for a fantasy setting and put them into a modern day setting. So instead of playing a wizard elf, you could play John McClane or Rambo. And when they did that, it's actually quite successful. Like it was over 20, you know, they had 11 different expansions. They had dozens of third-party products from like guys like Green Road and Press and whatnot. It was one of my favorite games, certainly at that point in time. So 20 years later, so this is the 20th anniversary of the game.
No, it hasn't been that long. No, you can't tell me that.
November 1st of 2002 is when it first launched.
I'm afraid it has there, Mike. Okay. I loved playing D20 Modern back in the day. We played some great spy games with using it.
Oh, yes. The spy stuff was the best, right? And so what happened was that so many people were still playing the game, but they were all doing it off of third edition. Now, fifth edition rolls around, and people love or hate fifth edition. But what 5th edition was able to do was really introduce D&D and role-playing game to a whole new genre of people. But yet they did not have the ability to sort of experience the D20 Modern because it was still stuck in the 3rd edition world. So what we did was we took the D20 Modern OGL, Open Gaming License, which basically had 80% of what D20 Modern was. Then we took the 5th edition's SRD, systems reference document, and we combine them into creating this brand new product. Now, what's even better than that was that we actually grabbed several of the original designers of D20 Modern to come back and work on this project. So guys like Jeff Grubb, who also was responsible for like Spelljammer, folks like Stan Brown, who is also responsible for stuff like Ravenloft, Steve Miller, Michelle Carter Slavisic, who is editor supreme. These were all part of the original cast that did D20 Modern in the past, and they're also heavily involved in the Everyday Heroes adaptation, or what we call the spiritual successor of D20 Modern.
Well, this is really exciting. When do you guys go on Kickstarter? Because I would love, and you've got a quick start I can download today on your website.
So we launch on Kickstarter at 7 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time on May 17th, 2022. It's just a couple days away from the time that we're recording this. So you can see I'm losing all my hair right now. But I think the idea behind this was that we wanted to give you guys as much material as possible. So when you go onto our website, there's a button called Free Stuff. And on Free Stuff, you have what's called the Lookbook, which is the iconic characters. So we have 18 iconic characters, kind of like Regdar. Which talk about all the different classes that come with the book. And then we have a quick start guide, which basically allows you to build characters and play your characters all the way up to fifth level. So it's pretty comprehensive. Plus a module on the back, which is called Welcome to the Jungle, where you have a fun A-team style. Everything we do is A-team style for some reason, but we have a fun A-team style module in the back of the quick start guide.
Oh, sweet. We'll have to check that out. So really excited that we're a spiritual successor to D20 Modern. You got a lot of creative staff back. It's incredible news. I'm really excited about this project. And sort of the icing on that cake is you've got licensed support for just a ton of movies. Pacific Rim, Kong Skull Island, Highlander, Escape from New York, The Crow, Universal Soldier, Total Recall, Rambo. That's I've been in the industry a few years, and I always hear these stories about licensed property negotiations. And it always starts off with some guy going, "You have no idea, man." You got like eight of them. How'd you pull that off, dude?
You have no idea, man. I gotta say, it's never easy. It's never easy. But you know, I mean, when we started Everyday Heroes, the very first question everyone asked us was, "What are you gonna do about the expansions? Right? Are you gonna do Urban Arcana? Are you gonna do Noir? Are you gonna do Future?" And we struggled with it. And what I didn't want to do is I didn't want to go through the process of sort of saying, let's create these fake worlds, like Nueva, welcome to Nueva New York, you know, or whatever. And so the premise was that there's so much rich rich storytelling that happens in movies that, like, why not go through the process of bringing these movies to life? And that's kind of where we came up with this concept of cinematic adventures. And so the thought process behind it is, if D&D is the rule system and Ravenloft is the campaign setting, then Everyday Heroes would be the rule system for us, and then each of these will be the campaign settings in which you can play. But Jacob, you'll love this. We're actually, when we produce these modules, these cinematic adventures, we're actually going to take a Polyhedron magazine approach. You remember Polyhedron magazine?
Oh yeah. They had some great stuff in there.
Yeah, so on one side of it is a new set of rules mechanics, which you can actually use in the campaign setting, but you could also put it into any 5e supported game. Mm-hmm. And then the second half of it will be an adventure within the world. So let's just take place, for example, Universal Soldier, which is what you have up here. If you can just go, or you got Total Recall now, can you scroll down a little bit? And you'll see here that right there is the representation of a Universal Soldier, a cyborg type class. So half the book's going to talk about how do you introduce cybernetics into your game. So you want to replace your eye, you want to replace your arm, or what have you. Those rule sets can be thrown into any game you have. It could be thrown into your World of Darkness game, your cyberpunk game, your Star Wars game. You could throw that in any one of your games because it'll be perfectly balanced to anything that's in 5e. The other half of it's going to be a story that's going to be based within the Universal Soldier's rule universe, which will give you a chance to be able to actually play within the setting specifically. Now, our thought process is, if it's really successful, we have the ability to create multiple books. So, for example, for Pacific Rim and Kong Skull Island, we already know that's going to be really successful. So we're planning three books apiece. So for Kong Skull Island, we're going to give you a world book, which explores Kong. We're going to give you a guide to Titans, because you know there's more Titans than just Kong in the world. And you just might be able to, in the game, befriend them. Or even play them in the future. And then there's going to be sort of a monster manual, which is the guide to all the monsters that are associated with it. And, you know, one of the beautiful things that we actually have is that we actually have the full Bible for the Monsterverse. So I know all the monsters that are going to happen in the next five movies.
Oh, wow.
And there are thousands of Titans. There are thousands of super species. And we could pull this all into this game setting.
Oh, wait. So you can talk about things that haven't been on the screen yet, but are in the canon Bible for that setting?
Correct. Yeah. And I gotta tell you, there is one creature that's in the Bible that is so cool. That is so cool, and you will all love it when it comes out in the storyline. Starts with a Q. That's all I can say. I don't want to get thrown into movie license jails.
So I understand. There's probably totally ninja just outside of the view of your web camera, and you're looking at you with a katana saying "shh." So I understand. But damn, man, how do you pull it? I'm sure it's a long story. Best saved for Barkhan. But wow, this is a I'm just impressed with how you pulled this off. I mean, just the licensing negotiation, getting everything, you know, ready to go. This is pretty amazing.
Yeah, thanks. You know, I mean, the Moose Studios were really great to work with, right? And the one thing you've got to understand is this is just as important to the Moose Studios as it is to us, right? So on one hand, we want to be able to use these licenses to tell the story. But let's take a look at Pacific Rim, for example. Legendary is desperately wants to make sure that the fans of Pacific Rim are constantly engaged. That's why there's a Netflix series. That's why there's all sorts of things that are going on in comic books. Because they don't want to lose that fan base so that when they launch the next movie, they've got an installed fan base that's ready to go. So we're just as important to them as they are to us, because we can help engage, you know, hundreds of thousands of people in this world. A great example. So we did a docuseries on the making of D20 Modern, and Bill Slavicsik was in the docuseries as well as the other three original designers. And he had a really beautiful line. He was talking about how he created Star Wars, the role-playing game. And what he said was that as the new movies came out, so first of all, he said that there was no Bible at the time. So he named almost all of the aliens in Star Wars. And now the movie designers that are creating new Star Wars material are referring back to his work in order to flesh out the world. And that's amazing. And I'd love to get to the point where we're doing that with these properties.
Just to let folks know, I've got in the show notes, I just dropped it also in the comments on both Facebook and YouTube, a link to the trailer, the documentary you made. And if they go to your YouTube channel for Evil Genius Productions, it is right there. I think it's your pinned video right there at the top. So, yeah, really interesting stuff. It's, you know, as a guy who enjoys superhero games, enjoys modern games, I always kind of feel like maybe you're, you know, the little brother who's left out while everyone's overplaying, you know, the monolith that is fantasy RPGs. So it's nice to see someone, you know, giving some attention to this kind of stuff. This is awesome. So when you guys are launching the 17th, super soon, like 4 days away, what do people get as soon as they pledge? Is it the quick start? Is there something bigger for Kickstarter backers? And how's that going to work?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have about 7 pledge levels. And so, it ranges from $25 for a pledge all the way to $500. For $25, and in fact, you know, let's do this. You're on my website right now. Can you do a / KS?
Say what?
Go to the URL and then remove the slash behind it and put a KS instead.
Okay. So Evil Genius Games /KS.
Welcome to the super secret preview of our Kickstarter.
Wow.
Very nice.
This is very nice. All right. Tell us about this.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and scroll through a little bit. And by the way, we've gotten amazing feedback from our customers. So we talk a little bit about the cinematic adventures and what they are. So basically, cinematic adventures are essentially all the 8 worlds that we're creating. We're going to be releasing them one every 8 weeks over 2023. We're talking about the new professions, new backgrounds. We're talking about some really interesting concepts that we've introduced called genius points, which I love. There's a lot of things that people that played D20 Modern didn't like about D20 Modern. One of them was, in fact, the wealth system. So we overhauled the wealth system. So we're just sort of stepping through all the important things associated with what we did with the Everyday Heroes rule book here.
I noticed that you're utilizing actual classes instead of going with the strong hero, the smart hero, the dexterous hero.
So we actually are doing both. So we did stick with that model, which we're now calling base classes. And then what was sort of considered prestige classes or subclasses, we're calling those classes, and those are the 18 that you see there. Okay. So we do stick with the same concept, because we actually like that concept, right? Like this concept that, no, you don't have a race, but yet you have like a primary attribute. We tend to like that, and as a result, we did stick with that structure.
Okay.
Yeah. As a fan of all things cheesy, I have to applaud you on your naming of the $525 pledge level. The eel shark with freaking laser beams. That's great.
That's right. Well, good. At least I hope it puts a smile on people's face, right? But that package is sort of you get everything package, right? Which is the Everyday Heroes rulebook. You get every single cinematic adventure. You get every single cinematic adventure on Roll20. You get every single cinematic adventure sound set from Sirenscape. And I just previewed the Sirenscape sound set, and it's so cool. Like to listen the bullets fly is awesome.
All right, tell us. I haven't heard of this before. What is this Soundscape you're talking about?
Yeah, so there's a company called Sirenscape, and what they do is they create basically soundtracks for your games. And so they take the modules and then they cut it up, and then basically, like, let's say part of your module is in a jungle, mm-hmm. it actually makes ambient jungle sounds while you're playing.
That's pretty cool.
Or let's say that your sound set, or and then you move on to a helicopter, and then you hear the helicopter blades in the background. Or let's say someone throws a grenade at you, you can press a button and it actually sounds like someone. Which, you know, and what's a movie without a really good soundtrack, right? So it adds some of those ambient experiences for you, and for some people, they love the concept.
Yeah, that's wow, that's really cool. So right out of the gate, you're starting with Roll20, so you get VTT support for everything along with soundtracks. That's how many years have you guys been working on this in secret, Dave?
Well, and by the way, I just want to say one thing. Yeah. I'm very excited about, which has never been done before. Roll20 has offered to throw in the Roll20 version of our game for every single backer, whether or not you buy the Roll20 version or not.
Oh,
that's the first time they've ever done it. It's awesome.
That's really generous of them. Yeah.
And also I also want to remind, also say to other people that we also are going to be found on Foundry. I know there's a lot of Foundry hounds out there. It'll be found on Foundry as well.
Wow. I'm a little speechless. It doesn't happen often. I just usually see someone, hey, we're going to put out this book and everything else is going to be a stretch goal. Hopefully it funds. But you guys are just coming right out of the gate with, bam, we got this done. Here's something else. And it's just, I'm just in awe of what must be your epic and legendary project management skills to get all this stuff, you know,
done and ready. Lack of sleep.
I might do it. All right, cool. Well, let me ask you, because I'm going to get this question from publisher friends of mine. Are you going to license the rules and make it available for other publishers if they want to publish stuff using your rule set?
Yeah, we'd love to, actually. I think that was one of the most brilliant things that D20 Modern did, is that they allowed other people to build on top of it, which really created this amazing subsidiary market of phenomenal product, right? Mm-hmm. I would love, absolutely love, people to come to me and say, we have an idea. Can we work off of it? And I think we'd work with them. Two companies have already done that to us. And you said absolutely. So yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Okay. Is there going to be like an SRD situation, or is it more like a come and talk to us, we'll work something out kind of deal?
I have no idea at this moment. I've just been so focused on making sure that it fund. If it doesn't fund, this question is moot. So
that's true.
Let's make sure something funds, and then we can talk about sort of what that looks like. But I think the bar will be really low, so that it encourages more people to get into the game.
Yeah, you get the bandwagon effect. Once it gets funded, people want to be part of a winning story. So, wow. Dave, I am kind of in awe of everything you've got going on here. So if I understand you correctly, once it funds, the cinematic bundles will be rolling out, you said, every 8 weeks throughout 2023?
Correct.
All right, so it gives you some time. You can play this one, get your group through it, then the next one comes out. And
that's excellent.
Yeah, I'm going to check out your playtest once we get off of here. Maybe we can do it. We have a regular Monday lunchtime game that we play on the podcast. This mm-hmm. might be perfect for that. So sweet. All right, so all the links will be in the show notes. I encourage folks to check this out. This looks like just a big, big shivering hill of fun. I think you should check it out. They'd love to have you back on in the future, maybe once Kickstarter, you know, is going, or after it funds, talk about next steps, that kind of thing. Any closing thoughts or other things you want to make sure we point out to people?
Yeah, I mean, I hope you get out and back it. We put a lot of thought into it. Our goal is to just make it full of value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so and we're very good at listening to customers. So I respond to every single email that comes my way, every single Facebook post. So if you got some feedback, let me know.
Sweet. All right. Hey, thank you very much, sir. Appreciate your time. Jacob, thanks for coming out to co-host.
Mm-hmm. And well, you have my money.
Yes.
Awesome. Folks, thanks for checking us out here in the Banff Podcast. And let me play our outro music just to assure you that this is a high production value operation. That's enough of that. All right. Thanks, folks. We'll catch you next time on the Banff Podcast. And there's an awkward